This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated. This is episode 61, Future Workplace.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of GamesAtWork.biz. I am your co-host, Phaedra Boynodiris, hailing from lovely Cary, North Carolina, and I'm joined by both Michael Rowe and Michael Martin. Hi, guys.
Hey, Phaedra. Happy Friday. Joy,
happy
joy.
Friday, indeed.
It's a log.
Goes downstairs, yes, alone or in pairs.
Or in pairs. Michael, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great. I'm upstairs, so I will go downstairs alone probably, or maybe with my kids. Who knows? Budapest is wonderful this time of year. We've got the Boar – it's the Boar Festival. That's right. That's not Boar as in a wild boar, but rather Boar as in wine festival going on this weekend.
So not as in – Boar.
No, not that one either. No. Okay. So there's a wine festival that's in full swing right now, and we will be going tomorrow to take great advantage of it.
Excellent. So, nice.
Looking forward to that.
Excellent.
Up at the castle. So, guys, we've got a quick show to do here on the heels of a really excellent one last week. And Phaedra, we were talking in the pre-show. You've got some things to share from the Future Workplace 2020 Summit you participated in earlier this week, and I want to hear all about it.
Come back to the future.
Back to the future. It was a show that was very interested in talking about the future of gamification as it pertains to human resource management and training. Really, really interesting. Lots of discussions about next generation social business tools and engagement and how to do it. And there were some interesting examples. We had the chief learning officer for Nike there and the head of SAP's enterprise gamification. All in all, it was a very good show. Lots of great conversations about what to do and what not to do. So I do highly recommend it. I also want to make two shout outs to upcoming shows.
Yes.
For those listening, next Friday in Atlanta, the Center for Disease Control is hosting a Games for Health Summit. It's actually a Games for Health Jam. So it's a two-day jam. Lots of cool speakers who are going to be there. Free swag. Teams from around the world coming together to crank out apps. It's going to be awesome.
Cool. We need a link for that in the show notes, and then everybody should go there and say hi to my brother.
Yes, and I will be there too. So
you should say hi to my brother. Come,
say hi to me too. This upcoming winter, there's going to be a big Women in Games conference in Saudi Arabia, and this is going to be one of the first ones they've ever done. And I will also put some notes out on the show for that as well. But if you're in the Middle East area, you're interested in games, and you happen to have those chromosomes in place, please do show up. It's going to be – I think that will be interesting as well. But I'm going to be supporting that conference too.
Michael, I have half of those chromosomes.
That's right.
Hey, well, we need
but
some more.
But we don't like, have different half more. Each, right? I mean, it's the same half.
Anyway, so that too should prove to be very interesting.
Oh, that sounds cool. Like a lot of fun. And who knows? Maybe there's a flight that gets you – well, no. You'll probably go through Frankfurt and go over that way.
I have no idea. I've never been to the Middle East. That would be interesting. But I'll do it remote. I'll do it remote. I don't think I'll be able to fly out.
Boomer.
All right. Well, we'll make sure we get those show notes in play, of course.
Speaking of play, before the show, you were talking about you've been getting into some new exercises lately. And, you know, Phaedra sent us a link about some cool stuff that Nike did earlier this year around gaming exercise. And I was kind of thinking about some of the stuff that happened at the iPhone launch with the M7 chip and what that means to play and games and exercise. So
and health.
And
yes.
health. So I think there's so much really, really cool stuff going around in this space right now. And Phaedra, talk about the Nike thing, because that's cool.
Yeah, Nike missions, the whole premise is that depending on, it's basically your physical exercise connected to your gaming experience. So depending on how many steps, what you do, are you jumping, are you running, all this gets translated into what your character can and cannot do in the game itself.
So I noticed one of the guys, or one of the cartoons that they showed in the video was like this freeze sound, which was really cool because it reminded me of the little iceberg lettuces in Plants vs. Zombie 2. That same sound of as it iced the person up. That wasn't half bad, was it?
I was impressed.
Anyone asks you to freeze, you know how to do it.
I do. But I'm wondering, you know, if I had the Nike fuel missions freeze power, does that mean I watch TV a lot because I'm just sitting there frozen?
It could be that you're not getting your body temperature up enough, and they
could be or Michael, it could be that you're doing the ice swimming.
Could be.
Maybe. Well, what I wasn't completely getting from the video was, is it did the Nike fuel points allow your character in game to have certain characteristics and capabilities, or are you just sort of watching them, you know, run across this, you know, desert wasteland or whatever and kind of do incredible things, which is powered by your fuel? Do you have any more insight on that?
Nope.
Well, it'd be cool if anybody who's listening to the show or following us on Twitter at games@work_biz or on Google Plus on our Google Plus page or on Facebook who has played with this would, you know, write us a quick review. Tell us what you think. Are you playing? Are you engaging more in athleticism and exercise because of the play aspect in the game?
In the game principles, yeah. So Michael, you brought up the M7 chip.
Yes.
And for those who are not as closely following the Apple announcements as maybe some are, the M7 chip is a lower powered chip that is in the new iPhone 5S, which does monitor the accelerometer and a variety of other gyroscopes within the Apple iPhone device. There is a partnership with Nike as well, so there's your second, you know, thread into all of this, with the idea that this chip, low power, doesn't need to wake up the main A7 processor, can collect information about your actions and activities and then allow the phone to serve as sort of a hub for health.
Yeah, I think this is really cool, right? And there's some interesting things already being talked about how other companies are starting to be able to leverage some stuff. And I've got a link in the show notes to iBeacon, which is an API that I presume will definitely take advantage of this capability. But the idea is, as you said, it's think of it as a co-processor, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a separate processor and chip on the device that will do not just the accelerometer and the steps, but a lot of the sensor data that you might buy a Fitbit for or a Jawbone Up or some other device. Extremely low power. It captures and stores all that data. And then once the main CPU kicks in for appropriate intervals of stuff, it can then transfer that to whatever service you might be using. And so the Nike aspect obviously would be, you know, when you're out running and you might be, don't want to listen to music, you want to listen to nature, right? So you just want the phone in your pocket, right? But you want to capture all that data without burning down your battery. This allows you to do that and then hand it off at appropriate intervals for transferring to the base capabilities. What I really would like to see is how fast they open that up and all the other apps. Because as I think we've talked about on the show before, I use an app called Moves, which is just a simple step counter, right? And I have a Garmin swim watch for when I swim, and it'd be nice for all of those to start coming together in that, as you said, that hub for health on my phone. And it'll really depend on what APIs get opened up and how they connect all this up. And then all the gamification that comes in Games for Health can show up right in my phone in a way that's very, very compelling and personal.
Yeah, I think you're on the right wavelength. And given some of the other things that people have been talking about, this, you know, is that this chip would know, for example, when you're sleeping, and when you're sleeping, don't, you know, wake up if things.
He knows if you've been good or bad. So be bad for goodness sake. Hey.
Yay. Well, a little early for that. I guess they're only a few days away for your Christmas shopping. It's not even Halloween yet.
No.
They're not doing Christmas stuff already right
now,
are they?
No. Even put that out there.
I have seen Thanksgiving stuff already. Yeah. So for our international listeners, Thanksgiving is late November, a U.S. holiday. And what month are we in? Can we all say it? September.
Oktoberfest month.
Yes.
which is deliberately in September to just throw off anybody who doesn't know.
Yes, and I'm really stoked. Speaking of Oktoberfest, in October, I do plan on being in Portland, Maine for Monktoberfest, talking to developers, and I'm sure gamification will be up in that space too.
Yeah, no, that'll be a lot of fun as well. So I think this chip has a lot of promise that will click in nicely to games and game usage. You know, another usage that I've heard about is that it can tell when you are in motion in a car, for example, and by doing so, it can do various other tasks or not enable tasks because you might be the driver of said vehicle, and the phone would be able then to, you know, provide you with those kind of choices about, do you want to respond to text messages, for example, when you're driving? Maybe not. Maybe you need them read out at that point in time. Or there could be some other ways of saying, okay, I noticed that you're in motion, and that potentially can trigger some, I don't know, just some other capabilities. I'm making stuff up as I go. Never mind.
So, but you know, you're talking about all these different motions. I wonder if there'll be a tie into games like this game from LinkedIn article.
So this caught my eye because I know we have been talking on the show a lot about haptics and the use of emotive. And this one was interesting. It was more of a what if kind of an article where you could use emotive as a sensor to be able to gauge your emotions when you view certain images. And in this case, it would be images that are personal to you. And in this story, the idea would be, think of it kind of like a polygraph test where, you know, a wife is able to detect when her husband is cheating.
Or a husband is able to detect when the wife is cheating. Let's be fair.
Vice versa.
It's not like that conference that you're talking about where Michael and I can't go.
Right. It was interesting. It was interesting. I'm not quite sure what the game is.
Well, the game is, I got you. It's a game of tag.
I guess it's more like next gen polygraph.
Yeah.
Using a motive to see whether something is personal to you. Interesting.
Yeah, very,
you know,
very
polygraphs have been in the news a lot lately. Have you noticed?
I don't know.
There was actually an agent, I believe, was it an FBI agent, who had written a book on how to beat the polygraph.
Yeah.
And he just apparently got arrested because they said, no.
That's no, not you're legal. Wrong. It didn't work.
Yeah. Not legal.
We found you. So it's interesting. Speaking of emotive, I tweeted out for us on our link the emotive beer game. Did you see that?
Yes, it wasn't really so much a game. It was you just think about beer.
Well,
and
no,
then one
you
gets
think,
poured for you.
No,
but
no,
you have to think,
you
cold
have
beer.
Think of cold while it shows you a bunch of hot images. I was like, you know, all these great examples from emotive on, you know, like helping people who are disabled or blah, blah, blah. And then you have the sexy beer game. I thought that was funny.
I did too.
So
wait, you know, this cheating spouse game here that you had certainly has attracted a ton of attention. Most of which are like, oh, this should be a thing on LinkedIn.
Is that saying something?
I guess so. I mean, you know, it's interesting that LinkedIn, for whatever reason, just seems like, you know, that's not a place for having discussions. And then all these people are having a discussion that it's not a place to have a discussion.
I think there's a game in that.
could be. I mean, look at this. It's 127,545 views.
Wow.
And all of them from this guy who's been doing this thing in this cabin and in Las Vegas.
A speculative fictionalization of a possible future. Yes. Okay. Interesting for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So we've hit that one. Another one that is worth chatting about for a moment or two is this concept of tangible play. Vader, yes, you found this one too. And I love this TechCrunch article because what it was showing was this iPad that has the ability through a little mirror that you kind of put on it to look down at the game board and then interact with you based upon what's going on the playing surface. So I thought this, you know, this is really quite neat. And the point that the article says is it isn't quite new, but they've tried to do something a little bit different with it.
What I think is really cool about this, and you're right, Michael, it's not new. There was a card game with the PS3 and the PS3 camera add-on, whatever it was called. I can't remember, the Vision or something, some years ago. It was one of these traditional card games. Well, traditional new card games. One of the ones where you collect cards. I don't remember the game because I didn't play it. Magic the Gathering, that was it. It was a Magic the Gathering add-on for your PS3, I believe, that would give you a camera, a playing field, like it was a board, you put the cards on it, it would recognize the cards, it would do certain things on the TV, etc., and give you that two, you know, multi-screen, multi-environment gaming experience. But this is genius. I mean, as you say, it's a little clip-on mirror, and the rest of it's all software.
And I'm trying to remember there was something we talked about some time ago from Georgia Tech that had a game too that was doing some sort of like a board driven augmented reality. Vader, it has zombies in it too.
Yes. I'm that's what I was just thinking about too. There is.
You're always thinking about zombies.
We talked about on a previous show. I remember there was an article about it.
Excellent. Yeah, somewhere in there. So it, you're right. This is not entirely new, and there's various ways of interacting with the environment. And there have been some game elements. I think Disney had this too, where you could go and buy a little Disney Cars car, for example,
yep,
and then
and
drive it around
on the iPad.
Yep. So I think there's some really cool things along these lines of mixing the digital thing along with a physical gameplay device. I mean, can you imagine like you're playing the game of life, and not only can you use your iPad as the spinner, but maybe it keeps track of all your dollars. You're moving the objects around on the board, and it knows where they are through some means or another. And then you get various videos like when you get married, right? And maybe it took a picture of your face and shows you there with your bride or your groom, as it were, when you're going through the game. Things like that could be really quite neat and taking an old game and putting in a slightly new twist.
That's funny you should mention the game of life. I was thinking about that just this morning because I'm dead serious because I've been thinking a lot about games to help investors and make better investments. And, you know, we on the show, we've talked about 4D gaming before and the ability to manipulate time. But if there was some really cool way of being able to structure a timeline with milestones from your life or even ones, you know, potential milestones to be, and just having that be a really interesting interface, you know, I think that could be cool. So I was thinking about the game of life as a, you know, a metaphor.
Yeah, the Game of Life was one of my sister's favorite games growing up, and we always had to play that one. Very cool. Well, I know we're just about out of time. Was there one other one that we wanted to hit really quick?
Probably not. Each one of these are neat and interesting in their own, and they will take a little while to go through. But
we'll put them in the show notes, and people can comment on the site.
Phaedra, before we do run, there's one thing I wanted to check with you. Have you played at all with a site called Visify?
No.
Let me drop an example of that into the show notes here. So this one shows graphically things about you. So it's a way of saying, okay, well, what have you done? Where have you been? What's your education? Where have you lived? And you can share things about you that way. And it's kind of nifty, neato, little Game of Life-ish in that way as well.
Oh, cool. All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, do.
Very cool, yeah. So the great thing about this is it will really help in password cracking too.
Oh, good.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody about that the other day because we were talking about security and you know some of the things with the new security chip, et cetera, for various things going on. Anyway, and they're like, I was like, yeah, on Facebook, you know, all these people do these surveys that say, when did you first meet me, right? Or, you know, who was your first pet? And if you look at the questions, they're the questions that most websites use as the questions you answer to reset your password.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, it's like, maybe I'm just cynical or I think about these things differently and I go, yeah, this is what those things actually do provide, and they help for building out password cracking routines or other hacking routines. And I'm wondering how many people other than me think about that.
Probably lots. Probably lots.
Well, I hope so, because you know, they should.
All right, well, guys, I think we are at the top of the hour, as you said, so we will close the show for today and ask our audience to chime in, give us links, give us topics that you'd like us to talk about. We've got some great people that we're lining up here to bring on the show with us in short order to extend the conversation even further, and we're looking forward to interacting with you, our listener.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.